This week we had a funeral service here for Paul Stahl, and I know that we didn't have that to a bit. We weren't able to announce it in the actual service because we didn't know exactly what day it was going to happen, but we did have it this week, and we were able to give him a beautiful send-off and rejoice in his testimony, a man of prayer, a man who believed greatly in prayer that helped a lot of people. And so we just continue to bless the family, the Stahl family. The Lord would be with them and just continue to bring comfort and strength to them. Just a few little things to announce to you as well. Coming up next week is we have a prayer that is taking place, a district prayer that will be taking place here in our own church. And it's for pastors and staff members of our churches or people that are working in our churches. And that'll be happening on a not this Thursday, but the following Thursday. And one of the things they want to do is they want to go around our town and pray as well. So that's pretty cool that we're getting people that aren't from here, but they're coming here to pray and just want to be here. So God has some good things coming up. I got a helper. No, maybe not. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Acts chapter 10, 1 to 8. Acts chapter 10, 1 to 8. I like your sweater today. That's very nice. So Acts chapter 10, 1 to 8. What is a devout Christian? I was reading this passage in devotions this week and just kind of kept with me there. And so we're going to look to that as a passage. Acts 10, 1 to 8. In Caesarea there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius. He was the captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. "Cornelius," the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. "What is it, sir?" he asked the angel. And the angel replied, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying with Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore." As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. Lord, I just pray that you would just direct us into what you want to say to us here this morning in regards to this passage of Scripture. And Father, I just pray that your words would just flow out here today, God, that you'd help me just to share your words. And Lord, any of my words, I pray they would fall to the ground and your words would find a resting place in every heart and life. So Lord, we just ask your blessing on your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I just want to share with you about what is a devout Christian. When you look at that word devout from the dictionary, you get such words as religious, reverent, sincere, obedient, committed, faithful. And we can add to that what other people say in regards to being a Christian or a devout Christian. Some would say, well, it's being religious, it's being spiritual, or it's being devoted to a church. Others would define it as praying a lot. Someone who prays. Others would say it's being a devoted Christian is someone who is holy and has committed their life to God. So there's a lot of opinions out there when it comes to what does it mean to be a devoted Christian. And sometimes we can get quite opinionated about our personal view of what devotion is. And you know, opinions seem to matter to us a lot today. And we're really seeing that in the press out there today. We're seeing that in our world today, that opinions really matter to people, even if they're wrong. And so it's always good to look to the Bible to see if our opinion matches up with God's word, which must be the absolute when it comes to defining true Christianity or true devotion. It has to be according to God's word. Now, this passage of scripture we read here gives us a very good answer to what a devoted Christian should look like. And that's where I'd like to focus our attention on this morning. Cornelius was a Roman officer, a captain of a regiment of soldiers based in Caesarea. He was a Gentile, in other words, that just means he was a non-Jew, who proved to be very devoted towards God. And God took note of that just as he does today. And I might add that God is looking for people today who are devoted to him, that he may encounter them just as he encountered Cornelius and his household. So God is not finished encountering people in our world today. And he's especially looking for Christians who have remained faithful and have stayed devoted to him and to his work. That God takes notice of that and he will encounter us. I certainly want to encounter God in a greater way. And I know that many of you here as well that you're saying the same thing. I want to experience a greater encounter with God. Some of us, that's our prayer. God, I need, it's not just a prayer, I need, Lord, a greater encounter with you. And one of those ways that we're going to catch God's attention for those encounters is if we will remain devoted to him. And so I want to look at this passage here so we might see what a true devotion is really what it's all about, according to the Word of God, according to the Bible. And these are things that we should be striving for in all of our lives, that we may measure up to what God would consider as a person who is devout. So the first thing we see from this passage in being a devout Christian is that we should be God-fearing, having an awe and a reverence for God. Acts chapter 10, 2, it says, he was a devout, God-fearing man. Cornelius had a faith in God that was real. He respected God. He had a deep reverence for God and the things of God. And he wasn't scared of God, but yet at the same time, he had a very high respect and a healthy fear of God, which is something, and really as Christians, we also have. There's really a problem that's in our world today is that people have lost their reverence of God. People have lost their fear of God. And that's become a real big problem in our world today. And even in Christianity, it's also a problem where many Christians have lost their fear of God. They kind of forgot that there is still a judgment. There is still a day of reckoning for all of us where we will all stand before Jesus Christ and give an account for what we have done. And we realize today that Christianity has turned in so many different directions where almost anything goes now. And there's a disregard for what the Bible actually says. And as Christians, we need to get back to having a healthy fear of God, a reverence for God, and to realize that there is a day of reckoning that is coming for us all. See, the Bible tells us that there's going to be a day when every one of us as individuals, not as a family, as individuals, that we will stand before the Lord and give an account. Every person will have their day of reckoning, and our excuses that we have been using up to this time will no longer work when we stand before him. Romans 14, 12 and 13 says, yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. See, each of us are to take our relationship with Christ seriously, recognizing that all of us, every one of us, myself included, are going to stand before God one day, and we're going to have to give an account of how we lived our lives. Whether we were encouraging people in the Lord, or whether we were causing people to fall away. And to cause someone to fall away is a very serious sin in God's sight. So the Bible says you need to watch how you live. Because we're going to stand before God one day. We're all going to give an account one day. And it's not whether or not we think we did a good job. It's whether or not God thinks we did a good job. Because he's the one that needs to say those words, well done, thou good and faithful servants. Philippians 2:12 says, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. I like the King James Version a little better here, where it says, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. We need to be serious about that relationship with our God. Take your Christianity seriously and watch how you live, because your devotion matters. So God is looking for people who are devoted to him and that will fear him, reverence him, stand in awe of him, not wanting to do anything that may dishonor him. And if we're wanting to experience an encounter with God, then we need to start to pay attention to our faith, that we would reverence our Almighty God, that we would have a healthy fear of our God in our lives, because one day we shall all stand before God and give an account for what we have done. So our opinions or what others think or what others are doing does not matter. God is looking for a people that are God-fearing and that are devoted to him. Secondly, what is a devoted Christian? A devoted Christian is a person who manages his household well, where his family is impacted by the gospel, and it shows. Acts 10:2. We'll be referring to this a lot because that's our main text. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. So a devout Christian is going to affect his family. And it tells us of Cornelius that not only was he devoted to God and that he feared God, but so did his family, his children, his servants, and even some of his soldiers. So this man had a great reputation inside the house and also outside the house. And God is still looking for men and women who will be devoted to him, that will manage their households well, that those inside their house will serve the Lord. It should be the goal of every Christian to set the example in the home and to raise their children up in the fear of the Lord. It's so important that it needs to be a priority in our lives, that we will say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, we often make that pledge when we dedicate our children. Josh and Laura, they did that last week. And we bring our children in front of the church, and we dedicate them to God. We pray a prayer of blessing over them. See, that responsibility doesn't end there. That just begins. And we're to raise up our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. It's interesting that this is also a requirement to be a leader in a church or to be an elder in a church. 1 Timothy 3:4 says, he must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. And see, we need to understand here that, see, God is not looking just to encounter you as an individual. He's wanting to encounter our whole families. God wants to touch families. He's not just looking to touch individuals. He's wanting to touch families. Families are important to God, and God wants to move upon families. Just like the story in Acts chapter 16, where God moved upon the jailer's family when Peter was in prison and there was a great earthquake, and the jailer comes in. He's ready to kill himself, because if you let prisoners escape, that was a penalty. You died. And what must I do to be saved? Peter went into something about not just being saved now. He talked about being saved for eternity. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house, along with everyone in your household. That's Acts 16, verse 31. And then a few verses later, it tells us that as Peter said that to that jailer, the whole family was affected. And it tells us the whole household came to faith and were baptized in water. See, God is interested in encountering our families, not just as us as individuals, but also our whole families. And so we need to work hard to develop in their household children who will be devoting themselves to God and who will be God-fearing. This is God's desire for the family. This is what God considers as devout Christians. That's what we'll do, that we will manage our households well, leading our families to serve Jesus Christ. That's something that's very, very important. And, you know, we need to adjust our activities that we have in our lives so that our children are being directed, that they might hear and serve the Lord. We have a great thing starting up here in our own church. We have youth. We have our Bethel Kids on Thursday night now that will be starting up. Great ways to invest in your children, that your children might grow up and serve the Lord. Then thirdly, a devout Christian will be a person who gives generously, who gives above and beyond that which is required. Again, Acts 10:2. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household, and he gave generously to the poor. A devout Christian is a person who gives above what is required from God. In other words, there'll be a person that will give their tithes, they'll bring their offerings to God, but they'll also give alms to the poor, they'll help those in need, they will bless the church, they will bless people in financial ways. And God is looking for people who will be generous and that generosity fills their hearts. And it's interesting here as you read about this, that the Bible says that this got God's attention. This was one of the things that really spoke to God, that got God's attention concerning Cornelius. And we need to realize that God is looking for people who will be generous. Look what it says in 10:4. As the angel came to him and spoke to him, and the angel replied, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering." You know, we just took an offering here in our church, which we give tithes, we give offerings, we give monies unto the Lord and to the Lord's work. You know, many times we don't look at that as an important time in the service. Many times we kind of look at offering time as break time, bathroom time, or whatever, or time to chat to your neighbor. We don't look at it as something that's very important to God. And the Bible says it is, we call it an offering because it actually is. It's an offering unto God. And God takes note of our offerings. And so maybe that's something that needs to get our attention the next time we come and we do our offerings, whether we're doing through debit or credit card, online, or here at the church or a debit machine. It's something that God takes note of. And he's pleased by our generosity. It brings God to that place where he wants to move upon us. So God looks at what we give. He sees the motivation behind our giving. And whether we give thousands of dollars or whether we give the widow's mite, the lady that just threw in a couple coins, God sees all and rewards all. A devout Christian will be a generous giver. And that's all through Scripture about generosity. Psalm 37:21, but the godly are generous givers. That's who they are. 2 Corinthians 9:6, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. And God was referring to the church that was giving here in this passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians 9 all talk about being generous in our giving. So generosity is something that's important in the Bible. It's good to keep in mind that it also is something that gets God's attention, and that it's not overlooked by God. You know, sometimes we give and we give and we give, and you know, sometimes you get that place, well, man, nobody appreciates what I'm doing, and we can kind of go down those roads. And when you realize God's not forgetting what you do, God sees what you're doing, God sees how you're responding. And a generous gift is an offering that the Bible says that God receives as an offering. And it's a quality that God looks for in devoted Christians. And he will respond to generosity. This church has been a generous church throughout the years. And I've been here for numbers of years now, and this church is noted for generosity. Yes, we've been kind of going through a bit of a time where the economy kind of tanked on us and salaries shrunk, some people moved away, and yeah, it gets a little bit harder, but don't forget, generosity still works. Whether we have a big salary now or a small salary, generosity still works. Let's get back to generosity. Let's keep giving and blessing people like we did with the barbecue. That we, you know, we just bless them with birds. We bless them with bikes. It wasn't because we're rich. It was just simply because there's generosity, people of generosity that stepped out. We're going to do a concert this week and bring in this band to touch that younger generation. It's not because we're rich. It's because some people are generous and that will step out and help to bring in things like that. So let's not forget that that gets God's attention. And God's going to encounter us for that. Then fourthly, what is a devoted Christian? We see that they will be a person of regular prayer. Acts 10:2, he was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. And again, this is something that gets God's attention. And again, as we pray, we a lot of times we don't think it in those terms, but prayer is an offering to God. That when you take those times and your day, or you set aside a time to pray regularly every day, and that's very important that we do so, God takes note of that. That's an offering. You're bringing in an offering before God when you do that. Look at what it says again in Acts 10:4. Your prayers and gifts to the poor, we already talked about the gifts, now it's talking about your prayers, have been received by God as an offering. You want to touch the heart of God? Bring an offering. Start praying. Start sacrificing your time to pray. Your prayers are an offering to God. They really are. You know, we have some families that come to this church and they just want to pray. They ask, Pastor, can I come to your church and can I pray? We even have a few people I see out in our parking lot that keep coming to the church. They don't even come to our church, but they do go to our parking lot and they pray in our parking lot. That's pretty cool. The Ford family, they're sitting right up here. I should call the tribe there of all those kids. They pray here almost every day. Not quite. Almost every day they'll come to this church and pray. This week when I was coming to the church pray, I come up here one night. It was quite late, about 10 o'clock. And I just kind of said, I bet you those Fords are up there praying. And sure enough, as I came, they were just getting ready to go out the door. And the kids, I could see they were getting tired. And I just prayed a blessing over them. That gets God's attention. There's people that are praying in this church. And they're really stepping it up and to seek the face of God. I know there's other folks that you live further away, and so it's kind of hard to come in here like that. But I know that you're praying. God takes note of that. Those are offerings that are being offered to Him that pleases Him, that would cause Him a favorable response towards us. And I believe that you as a Ford family, that God has something very favorable to release upon you because of your faithfulness in regards to prayer. I really do. Cornelius, he prayed regularly to God, which in Jewish custom was usually at least three times a day. And that regular time of prayer is so important for us all. You know, if we say, well, I just pray here and there, a little word here, a little word there, friend, that's not really doing it. You need to set aside a time where you really have that personal time, that quiet time with God to call upon Him. And as a devout Christian, that's what we'll do. We will make sure we have regular times of prayer. We'll be serious about prayer because prayer gets God's attention. And He's looking for a people who are committed to Him to pray. And as He finds them, God will encounter them. James 5:16, it says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And the reason that it does is because God considers it an offering. And as we give our offerings to God, it pleases God, and that He would so release His blessings upon us. Tonight, we're going to have our church open. We've been kind of doing that last year. If you want to come in on Sunday nights, we'll be praying tonight, 6:30 to 7:30. If you happen to be free and you can come in. And we're just doing that because we want to experience more of God. We really do. And with this week coming up, with so many of our programs starting, I think it's a good thing that we would be praying over these things as well. So we need to get back to prioritizing prayer in our lives again. Because the Word of God clearly tells that God responds to people who will pray. Many of you know the kind of, I call it the revival scripture of prayer, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and restore their land. See, prayer gets action because prayer gets the attention of God. And if we want to be a devout Christian, then we're going to be a people that will have those regular times of prayer with God. And then lastly, in being a devoted Christian, we need to be a people that are well respected inside and outside the church. This comes from Acts 10:22, still speaking of Cornelius. They said, we were sent by Cornelius, a Roman officer. He is a devout and God-fearing man well respected by all the Jews. A holy angel instructed him to summon you to his house and so that he can hear your message. Being respected by others is also important today. That as Christians, we would have good testimonies, not just inside the church, but outside the church. Because actually, the greatest place for a testimony is not in the church. It's outside the church. That's where it speaks to people. That's where it draws attention to Christ. That's what brings people back to God when we have a testimony that's outside our church. So if you're worrying about what your testimony looks like, worry about it more about outside the church than actually inside the church. And I know usually it's the reverse of that. But our testimony and conduct outside the church is something that is very important. The Bible tells us if you desire to be an elder, you desire to be a leader or a spiritual person in the church, the Word of God clearly states its importance of being well-respected in the community. 1 Timothy 3, 6 and 7. A church leader must not be a new believer because he might become proud and the devil would cause him to fall. Also, people outside the church must speak well of him so that he will not be disgraced and fall into the devil's trap. See, our testimony outside the church is more important than your testimony inside the church. If we'd only learn how to do that, there's so many people get turned off church and turned off Jesus Christ because we don't have the testimony outside the church. That's where it really is important. And if all of us would concentrate on that testimony outside the church, our community would be transformed and changed. It really would. A devout Christian will be respected inside and outside the church. And that's what God's looking for. So in closing, it's important for us to recognize what God says is a devout Christian. Too often we deceive ourselves or we convince ourselves that we're doing great, we're doing good, that I'm a good Christian, I'm a good person, until we start really measuring ourselves up to the Word of God. And again, the Word of the God is our standard. That's the standard. That's what we must align ourselves all to. And that's what we're trying to do here, that we recognize that God's Word is the ultimate. It's the standard. Everything else has to come underneath the Word of God. God's Word is supreme, and everyone and everything needs to line themselves up with the Word of God. So we need to be, if we want to be devout Christians, then this is the standard that's set for us in the Word of God. We need to be a God-fearing people. We need to be a people who manage our households well. We need to be a people who give generously. We need to be a people who pray regularly. We need to be a people well-respected inside and outside the church. God is looking for a people who will devote themselves to God. It definitely attracts God's attention. We see that here very clearly. Devotion attracts God's attention. And God often moves and encounters such people. If we took the time to read all of Acts chapter 10 and read this story about Cornelius, we see that they did experience and encounter God where they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in tongues and unknown languages and different languages. They began to praise God with great excitement. The Holy Spirit fell upon them. And friends, that's what we all need. We just need a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit. We are praying that today in the prayer room, that as we have in this rain that's hasn't been kind of normal for this time of year here in Alberta, that there's a saturation of rain. We're just praying, Lord, we pray for that in the spiritual, that the heavenly rains would come down. And they would so saturate us that we just get so filled with His blessings and His goodness, and that we'd be so touched and put on fire for God. That's what we need. So let's get ourselves back to the standards of His Word. Let's live it. Let's be devoted people so that through our lives, they may be a pleasing offering to God, an offering that gets His attention where supernatural encounters then take place. I want to experience more of the supernatural. I want to have more encounters with God. I want to see our community experience supernatural encounters with God. I want to see that happen right here in our church at Bethel. I want to see those things take place. And I realize as I read this passage of Scripture, here's one of those great ways that we receive that. Let's be devoted people like this Cornelius. People that have a holy fear and reverence of God, that'll pray, that'll lead their families right, that'll give generously and pray regularly and have an influence, not just inside the church, but outside the church. That's what we need to have. That's who we need to be. And in closing here this morning, I think all of us are here. And we all really, I think all of us want to encounter God more. There's a hunger, there's a thirst, and it comes from God Himself. It's not just ourselves that want that. It's the Spirit of Christ that lives inside of us that keeps wanting more. So it's not always just ourselves wanting it. It comes right from the Lord Himself, because that same Spirit is inside each one of us, and it craves for more of God. Maybe you're here this morning, and you might say, I've been hearing this terminology. So many people have been sharing this in the last week and a half with me. I'm wayward. Maybe you're here today and you once served God, but you would have to say today, I'm wayward. I've walked away from God. I'm not where I should be with God. And if that's you, then we would love to pray with you and encourage you here this morning as we come to the end of this service. And we'll be having a prayer time just shortly. Or maybe you're just here that you have been a devoted Christian. But maybe you just got discouraged, because it's not always easy being a Christian. Sometimes it gets hard. Sometimes tough things happen. And you kind of have to just keep working through. You keep doing what you know is right. And you just keep doing it. Even if you don't feel anything, you just keep doing it, because it's going to happen. There's going to be an outpouring. There's going to be an encounter that will take place just as we see it in Scripture. Now that's you. Just hang in there. Hang in there. Your promise is coming. Your reward is coming. God has something good for you. Just like, you know, I believe that for the Fords here today, as they're sitting there, God has something very special for them that's going to come, because they kept at it. And I can tell you, they had some very hard times too. Very difficult times too, but they kept pressing in. That's what we all need to do. Keep pressing in. There's something good is on its way. Maybe it'll be this week. Maybe when we have these professors come, that something big's going to happen. Maybe it'll be this week. I pray that it is, because I'm getting older and I want to see it happen now. God, bring it now. Bring it now. We need it now. We need it now. Send your heavenly rain. Send those godly encounters, those supernatural encounters, that we might experience more of you. So we stand together in closing. I'm just going to ask you just to put on a song there from the recorded song, and just play that. And we're just going to close in a word of prayer. And if you would like prayer, we have a prayer team here that would just love to pray with you. Maybe you have a need that has nothing to do with my message today. That's okay too. We don't mind praying for people. We believe in prayer. And if you have a need that you need prayer for, we don't want to see you leave this church today without somebody praying for you. And so that'll be given here as an opportunity as well. So Lord Jesus, thank you for people right here in this place. They've been devoted. They've worked hard. They may not have been perfect. None of us are. But I know that, Lord, there's a hunger and there's a thirst that is in the lives of the people right here in this church. That, God, they want to experience a supernatural encounter with you. God, we want to see more people come into the kingdom of God. We want to see more people set free and delivered and be set free from things that have bound them and have held them back. We want to see things where people are restored, where people are encouraged and people are lifted up, where people experience God for themselves, that they'd be able to say, I know that I know today because God is real, because I've experienced Him for myself. So Lord, we would pray that you would make yourself more real to us. We pray for more supernatural encounters, not just in our church, but through our community, in our homes, that, Lord, that we would have some supernatural encounters with you, where the Holy Spirit would come upon us and touch us in powerful and wonderful ways. God, we declare we want to see more. Thank you for your people, Lord. I believe that, God, the faithfulness of people here in this congregation has been brought up as a remembrance before you. And Lord, not just us, but even the generations before us that have been praying that something is about to take place in response to all those things that were done before us, and also by us too. Lord, I pray a blessing over your people this week. I pray that, Lord, you would draw all of us closer to you. I pray that, Lord, that you'd open up our ears to hear, open up our minds to understand. Give us the power to overcome our temptations. Give us the power to overcome those things that are binding us or holding us back, and set us free. Because we want to worship you in spirit and in truth and with power and with love and with joy. Give our joy back too, God. We want our joy back. We pray for an impartation of joy in Jesus' name, that, Lord, will suddenly come upon us. Change our circumstances, Lord. Change our situations. Intervene in our circumstances, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I just bless your people here this morning, God. Help us all that, Lord, we'd come to that place where we'll devote our lives to you. And that, Lord, that as that roll call comes, that day when we stand before you, that we'll actually hear words as, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Lord, we just pray these things, and we ask your blessing over your people as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. Thank you for coming to the church today. If you're in need of prayer, I just ask our prayer team that they would come to the front here, and they'll help me to pray. And if you have to go, bless you. Great to have you at God's house today. And that's the good guys up here already that we'll be praying for.